Okay. So I just want you to know that we are recording my talks, and anything that you say won't be released publicly. So only things I say. I have no idea what London Insight's actually going to do with these recordings and who they're going to make available. What? With people's questions included?
No, not questions.
Oh, see, okay, we're in sync here. Perfect. Okay. All right. So I just want to put out a few things about looking at one's meditation practice. Because when you actually stop doing a particular meditation practice and you sit in a more open way, you start to find that certain things about your previous meditation practice may become a bit more clear. And so I'm going to try to help clarify some of that for you a bit. And this is, to me, a very interesting area, because when we take instructions from outside, when we listen to somebody and we take in their instructions, we are taking in somebody else's ideas. We're taking in their point of view, their even some of their beliefs and concepts, and we're applying them to ourselves, to our inner world. And meditation, you know, goes very deep. It's a very serious activity. You will see things about yourself in meditation that may be harder to see at other times when you're engaged in conversations or doing work or things like that. So what tends to happen is that the instructions we take from outside, come in and meet a more delicate, fragile world than they're maybe meant for. And so what can happen is that you may start to find that even if the instructions stated in a very kind way, in a soft voice, in a gentle manner, when it kind of comes through and you start to apply it, it's coming in a particular, maybe pressured or driven or not so friendly manner. And so this is one thing about meditation instructions from outside. Whatever we might learn, we might have to be, I believe, careful in how we handle those instructions. The instructions themselves may not be strong or rigid or harmful. But the way we take in instructions and the way we've done it throughout our lives may carry with it a certain amount of self-criticism and wanting to excel or achieve. And so we add that to the instructions. Even if it's maybe a simple instruction of just bring your attention back to your breath, especially if it's stated with, all the time, whenever your mind wanders, bring your attention back to the breath, you might find, well, you're trying to achieve that, and you're doing it in a way that may feel pressured and harsh, but, some people might find that they can do it, and it's not a kind of act of, force or coercion. It's actually fits. But you might find at other times and for other people, it's actual real struggle, real inner conflict. So what I want to kind of say about that is that you might notice something around some of how you've taken in instructions in your meditation sittings. You may have noticed how you took in my instructions and what you did with that and how you worked with that. My take on this is that the most skillful directions that we'll find in meditation are actually going to come from within. They're going to come from how we are aware of our experience, and that our awareness is going to help us make some skillful choices. And that those choices, you know, the choice, say, to be aware of sounds when you start hearing sounds and your mind is drawn to that, will largely become effortless. They'll largely become choices that you make because you're already 90% there. You're already kind of leaning in that direction. And that's when most meditation instructions actually work best for us, when we're already aware of bodily sensations, to let yourself just hold your attention there. Or when you're already aware that you're breathing in and out, or you're hearing your breath, or you're noticing rise and fall of your abdomen for a while, and you just can hold your attention there, you might find that then you are doing that practice not as a technique, not something that you do all the time and that has pressure behind it, but as something which you are drawn to at that moment, and you'll get the benefits of it, I'm sure of it. So just to consider that there's another way of going about this whole project around instructions. We just kind of have to question some of our conditioning around how we take in instructions, how we comply, how we, you know, treat ourselves when we're given a task and we have a feeling that we have to do it well or completely, and to reconsider, well, this is meditation. This is something different. I'm going into my own heart and mind, and that's a different world. It's different than a physical exercise or some other things that I might have to do for work. You know, I'm touching upon my emotions, my fears, my hopes, my history. You know, there are things about me that are coming into this, and really to be gentle with that. And that's one reason why I really do emphasize being gentle with things, because that provides a much safer inner environment. So whatever you're doing in meditation, if there's kindness in your practice, you'll probably find that whatever you decide to do, you're not kind of pushing yourself there, or you're not kind of stopping something, cutting off thoughts and feelings to do something else. You're actually attending to what it is you're experiencing. When I started teaching in this way, people would compare this approach to choiceless awareness, because they would think, what I'm advocating here is not making any choices, of having your attention go from thing to thing, not following any instruction. So, like with some choiceless awareness practices, it's more about, you know, if your attention goes to sounds, you're hearing a sound. If it goes to a body sensation, word sensation, breath, you're aware of breathing, thinking. You're going kind of letting your attention go here and there, not making choices. What I'm saying here is that actually this is different. This is just kind of letting yourself actually think and feel and let your mind be kind of like how it is normally, and listening to it, kind of noticing what you're thinking about, what you're going through, kind of really attending to your experience while you're sitting in meditation, and that you will make choices. That points, you know, of experience where we have to make a choice whether to, you know, not follow the breath when we have an idea to follow the breath, or the choice to sit up straight when we're hunched over. You know, these choices are coming in. We can't avoid them. They're arising within us. And so the idea here is, well, how do we actually learn from our choices? And perhaps that's going to be one of the greater lessons from meditation practice, is that we can actually make choices, say, to stay with a certain memory for a while, and find that, well, this time that wasn't such a bad choice. It was very rich and rewarding. Another time you might find, oh, I was just getting far too caught up in things in the past that are already done with and that I don't really need to look at so much. So there's no kind of right choice all the time. There's only the kind of choices that you make that seem to fit, that seem to be appropriate for what's going on with you. And you can't, it's really hard to decide these beforehand. So what I'm really suggesting here is that, you know, first you listen to your experience. You kind of listen to where your thoughts are going. You let yourself think about things and you might notice, I keep going to this particular person or this particular situation. And then you might find, well, okay, I'll let myself stay there. I'll let myself think about that for a while. It's a choice. Instead of choosing, no, I'm not going to go think about this person, because you probably have already done that a few times and still the person comes up, you know. Because that's really the nature of our minds. Our nature of our minds in meditation is not to stop repeating something that seems to be holding our attention. It seems to be repetitive. And so what I'm asking here is you to consider doing something the opposite, making choices that you haven't made while meditating before, because you probably have been doing a particular technique or practice that wouldn't allow it. To, you know, say, okay, in this sitting, I can experiment. I can choose to plan my holiday in a couple of weeks. I can choose to reminisce about something that happened, or I can take in the strange encounter I had early this morning getting here. You know, you can let yourself go into all these areas. You don't need to monitor yourself so closely. So how do we then develop awareness around our experience? If we're letting ourselves, you know, the classical sense, be unmindful and let our minds wander and go into these areas, how do we develop awareness around what we're really thinking about and what's going on in meditation? And that's where the recollection comes in. That recollecting the sitting, you know, afterwards is going to give you a sense of what you kind of like what you were thinking and feeling at different times, where you allowed your mind to go, how you were with that experience, whether you were aversive to it or wanted to control it or stop it, or found like you were more okay with it than usual. And you might find that your recollection is starting to tell you more things about your experience than you could have been aware of in the moment. And so that's also part of what's happening with the journaling. You're going to notice some other things that were going on that might have escaped your attention, you know, while they were happening. So many times people, you know, or we're given this impression that awareness in the present moment is kind of king. You know, it's the highest awareness. It's optimal. If we can only, you know, get there and have it stay for, you know, long segments of our lives, then it would be great. But most of the time that's not happening. And what, especially when it comes to awareness of thoughts and feelings, once you try to be aware of what you're thinking about in the moment, you're stopping it. You're separating yourself from it. You're, you know, labeling it, categorizing it. You know, you're setting the groundwork for judging yourself in your sitting. But if you allow the thinking to go on and to kind of complete some of its cycles, to kind of lead where it's going to lead, you'll find, you know, your mind will disengage from a certain thought after a while. It will move on to something else. You will find, especially, you know, since you have been meditating, that your attention may go to the breath or body quite naturally, or the sounds, and you find your sitting is just kind of, you know, moving about a bit, but it's still meditation. It's still not like you're just swamped by the thoughts or completely caught up. At times it may be, you know, a little bit more as if you're kind of going in and out of the thinking, which is what happens when you try to follow the breath and stop your thoughts, except this is happening, I believe, in a kinder way. The thing about thoughts and emotions is that they aren't static in our experience. They have a kind of momentum to them, a direction. And so when you keep stopping them, you might find that what is happening is that you only get the tip of the iceberg. You get a sense of, you know, I'm feeling this fear, or I just have this one thought, and I call this thought, you know, anxiety. If you allow it to go on, you might find that it starts to reveal itself more. Your mind, you know, starts to, in a sense, become more known to you by sitting with those thoughts and feelings. And I believe that meditation is the perfect place to do this, because here we are sitting still, you know, for half an hour, 40 minutes, complete privacy. You don't have to talk about anything you're thinking about or feeling to another person. You know, you don't have much else to do. It's by nature boring. So here's something that might make it a little less boring. Mm-hmm. And you may actually find that giving yourself this kind of time is also, in a way, honoring yourself. There's a certain sense of, okay, I'm actually spending time with myself here in meditating. I'm not trying to get myself out of my sitting, you know, which can happen in various practices we've done. We've kind of said, you know, I don't belong in my meditation sitting. You know, somebody else belongs here. Somebody who is very mindful and has great, you know, is able to note each moment, is able to be aware all the time. That's the person who's really, this is for. But that person hardly ever shows up. You know, so just, you know, let meditation be for the part of you that shows up, you know, that really, you know, comes into the sitting and that's there. You may find that, of course, can't remain the same throughout the sitting. So another side to this is really, often when I talk, you know, people hear that I'm stressing, really allowing thoughts and emotions. But that's not complete. You know, just allowing thoughts and emotions is going to bring you into certain areas of your experience. But with meditation, we always get sleepy, you know? Well, always maybe too strong, but many sittings you find, you drift. You know, that there's a tendency to get relaxed. It has that kind of effect. So to really allow yourself to go towards sleep and to drift is also really important in meditation practice. What you're doing is you're following usually a type of relaxation response that's occurring when you're sitting, you know, unless you're extremely tired. But if you're extremely tired, then how do you expect yourself to stay really awake, you know, while you're meditating anyhow? So you might as well let yourself drift then too. So to me, what you might start to find is that if you allow drifting, you're going to not fear falling asleep, and you'll probably fall asleep less. You know, you probably find your mind does other things. It goes close to sleep and then it comes back up. There's nothing wrong with it. There's no failure in falling asleep in meditation or feeling tired or drifting. It's just, you know, what happens when we sit. And it can open up other doors, because there are states of mind that we haven't allowed to form in our meditation sittings if we've kept trying to wake ourselves up. So one thing I've written about in my book on learning meditation in particular is what I see as a process of drifting off and waking up. You know, that you'll drift off, you'll kind of drift and float and go into other things, and then you might find that there are things that wake you up a bit. You notice your breathing waking you up. You notice some light or color. You hear some sounds. You let yourself get kind of naturally just a little more stimulated. And you'll find that that process of drifting and waking up is actually producing certain calm states of mind. It's adding to a development of tranquility within your practice. So I'd like for you to just feel like you can open to that as well as your thoughts and emotions. So I'm just going to stop here and open this up for any questions you might have.